Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about new regulations for private therapeutic homes, the Keystone XL pipeline, and radioactive waste. It's Monday, August 26th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Friday was the deadline for public input on the Montana Health Department's draft proposal to add work and community service requirements to the state's health coverage program for low-income adults. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
At the end of the month, Montana's Department of Public Health and Human Services plans to send the federal government the new outline for the state's Medicaid expansion program, which covers around 90,000 people. The change is required by House Bill 658, legislation fought over during the 2019 legislative session that continued the controversial health program past a looming expiration, in addition to making policy changes within it. The most high-profile change is a requirement for certain Medicaid recipients to work or do community engagement activities, such as vocational education, community service, or other activities outlined in the new law for 80 hours per month. DPHHS estimates that nearly 26,000 people on the program will have to report their compliance with the requirements, and between 4 and 12% of those people will lose coverage. The policy changes also include premium cost increases for people who stay on the program longer than 2 years and the elimination of copays. The federal government, which will pay 90% of Medicaid expansion costs after 2020, must sign off on Montana's plan. Pending that approval, the new requirements for some Medicaid recipients will go into effect January 1st. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio.
Wyoming park officials have approved a plan to bring high-speed internet into the Grand Teton National Park. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reported that the National Park Service authorized a proposal to build a network of 9 cell towers and 63 miles of new fiber optic line between Flag Ranch, Moose, and Kelly. Park officials say several telecommunications companies proposed the plan to wire the park, and the scope of the infrastructure is unprecedented within the national park system. Montana health officials released new rules Friday for private therapeutic homes that previously fell under the authority of a mostly self-regulated board. This comes a month after the state health department removed 24 children from one of those facilities due to allegations of abuse. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services is asking the public to comment on 61 new rules that will govern 18 private therapeutic programs for kids statewide. They cover everything from removal of children to staffing ratios. Some specifically touch on allegations health officials raised against Ranch for Kids, including bans on withholding food and excessive physical exercise. A law passed this year giving health officials oversight allowed for the removal of 27 children from that facility last month. Senator Diane Sands, who sponsored the legislation, told MTPR earlier this month that she expects DPHHS to take more action under the new rules it released Friday.
Some of these facilities are probably fine, and we will find that out as the department goes in and has the authority to look at what is their training and certification for people who are providing the kinds of therapies that these children are in need of.
DPHHS is still overseeing programs under current regulations. The department declined to comment on its proposed regulations Friday, saying that it will provide comment closer to a public hearing on September 12th. Sands, who had some input on the rulemaking process, expects the rules to be approved mostly as is.
Because they are exactly consistent with what the requirements are for the other programs the state currently licenses that deal with kids with serious emotional or behavioral problems.
MTPR called all 18 programs that would fall under the new rules. Some were unaware they had been released, and others were still thumbing through the 55-page document. Most programs did not answer or were not available for comment. Public comments on the new rules are due September 20th. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Nebraska's highest court approved the Keystone XL pipeline's route through the state Friday. As Olivia Rheingold reports, that makes Montana the focus of efforts to halt the project's construction.
The three remaining lawsuits against the Keystone XL pipeline are based in Montana. All will be heard by the same federal judge in Great Falls, U.S. District Judge Brian Morris. He's blocked the construction of the 1,200-mile project before, ruling that the U.S. State Department had to look further into its potential environmental impacts before proceeding last year. Now, two of the suits are challenging a renewed permit issued by President Donald Trump. It would allow the pipeline to cross the Canadian border into Phillips County, Montana. Wes Furlong represents Montana's Fort Belknap Indian community and South Dakota's Rosebud Sioux tribe, which filed a lawsuit saying the permit violates their treaty rights.
Without this permit, the rest of the pipeline is not going to be built.
He says that's because the Keystone XL pipeline is supposed to be a shortcut for oil to travel down to Nebraska. Furlong says pipeline owner TC Energy could find another route, it just wouldn't be the shortest one. He says the current proposed route violates historical treaty boundaries, as laid out in the 1851 and 1868 Fort Laramie Treaties and the 1855 Lame Bull Treaty. That makes the Fort Belknap and Rosebud Sioux tribes' case different than past legal challenges to the pipeline, which involved federal agencies but not the president himself.
I think the big difference, though, between those two and the previous cases is that previously, the State Department issued the permit and not the president.
Why that matters is because the president isn't held to the same standards as federal agencies like the State Department. His permit is exempt from some federal statutes. But that doesn't change the fact that Trump is required to fulfill treaty obligations. Furlong says there's no getting around that one. The case is currently in the briefing process and will enter into oral arguments on September 12th in Great Falls. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Rheingold.
Montana proposed regulations Friday that outline what facilities need to do to dispose of radioactive waste, while also monitoring for environmental side effects. If approved, these regulations may be the first of their kind in the state. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The regulations released Friday are the second major revision since the Montana Department of Environmental Quality started the process to regulate radioactive waste from oil and gas production 2 years ago. While Montana has a radioactivity limit of 50 picocuries per gram, it doesn't have a formal set of rules regulating technologically enhanced, naturally occurring radioactive material, or TNORM, a common byproduct of energy production. TNORM is both defined and regulated at a state level. Some states have rules about TNORM disposal and others do not. DEQ writes that ingesting or breathing in TNORM could have negative health effects. These proposed regulations would be Montana's first formal attempt at defining how facilities should dispose of TNORM. Friday's draft regulations would raise the maximum limit of picocuries to 200 at the facility gate, with an average of 50 picocuries annually. Montana Waste Management Bureau Chief Ed Thamke feels fairly confident about this latest draft.
We've spent a lot of time, we've done a lot of research, we've worked with a lot of professionals to come up with a viable and sensible approach to this, and that's why we've proposed the levels that we have.
Patty Whitford is one of the people who gave DEQ input on the draft regulations. She's a member of environmental advocacy organization Northern Plains Resource Council, which has been pushing for TNORM regulations for years now. Patty Whitford owns a few acres of land just outside of Sydney in eastern Montana. She shares it with her husband, a handful of horses, a small dog, and Blackjack, an aggressively friendly black cat. Down in the valley below her house, cars and trucks buzz past. Woodford says many of those trucks are driving to and from oil fields in North Dakota. Last year, Woodford and other members of the community used citizen zoning to block a landfill just across this highway. The North Dakota-based company would have accepted radioactive waste from oil and gas development activities like fracking and taken up roughly 650 acres. Woodford unlocks the gate to her backyard where her horses wander around. Down a steep hill, there's a pond that she says is a watering hole for local ducks, geese, and deer.
This is the reason why I'm so adamant about surface water and runoff, storm runoff. This little bit of heaven is ours.
She's afraid a landfill would endanger it.
One wreck of a semi tipping over is contaminated. The dust that is lifted into the air that's radioactive and sets down on our pond or on our own house could make it radioactive and contaminated.
Woodford had hoped the radioactivity limit would remain at 50 picocuries in the new regulations.
Because that is the same as North Dakota's, so there is no advantage to bringing all of North Dakota's radioactive material to be disposed of in Montana.
For some perspective, a fact sheet from DEQ shows that naturally occurring radioactive material is found in bananas at 4 picocuries and coffee at 27. Right now, there's only one active landfill that accepts T-Norm in Montana. Oak Disposal Services is located in Lindsay, southwest of Sydney. Oak's manager, Mark Franks, also owns a restaurant in Glendive.
This is my backyard, too. And, you know, I sure as hell don't want contamination spread in, you know, my hunting areas or whatever. So I take the rules and even more so than the rules serious with our operations to make sure that doesn't happen.
He says he's ready to follow any and all regulations DEQ puts in place. At the same time, he believes the state could go higher than a maximum of 50 picocuries.
The low levels that we take now, yeah, I personally think we could probably take a lot hotter stuff.
If these new regulations go through as is, Oak Disposal Services may be able to do that. Some of the other proposed regulations detailed in the 31-page document include requiring companies to work with DEQ's Water Protection Bureau to establish a storm water pollution prevention plan. It also suggests monitoring air at the facility boundary and a third-party sampling of groundwater near the facilities. The public has 60 days to submit comment on the proposed T-Norm regulations. The deadline is October 21st. Kayla DeRoche, YPR News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.